that there's nothing to fear, that there's nothing to fear. The Course says just whenever you have a minute, just to take a breath and remind yourself that there's nothing to be afraid of. That there's absolutely nothing to be afraid of. But the Course also reminds us that it's hard to believe that when there's some areas of your life that you want to believe that you have some fears. It's hard to recognize there's nothing to fear when you want your illusions to be true. So he says, sometimes with your eyes open, sometimes with your eyes closed, you just take a minute, take a breath, and just be grateful. Just be thankful that you're here, that you're safe, and that there's nothing to fear. Course says the presence of fear is a sure sign that you trusted in your own strength. You just trusted in your own strength, separate from your source, then you feel fear. So wherever you are feeling fear, that's just an area where you still kind of think you're on your own handling it. And wherever you are not afraid, the Course says that's where, somewhere within your own mind, you remember and you know you're not alone. And you know that you are focusing on the strength of God. So you remind yourself that there is nothing to fear. That there is nothing to fear. Take a breath and remind yourself, there is nothing to fear, nothing to be afraid of. Just for a minute, let the day go. Let everything that happened today, let it go. For an hour, just let it go. And tell yourself, there is nothing to be afraid of. There is nothing to fear. I am safe. I am safe. Remind yourself that you are safe. You are loved. You are loved. You are safe. You are loved. You are safe. You are spirit. You are innocent. You are free. You are free. You are safe. You deserve love. You deserve peace. You deserve peace. You are innocent. You deserve peace. You deserve peace. You are safe. You're not alone. There's nothing to fear. You are sustained by the love of God. I'd like you to think about something you'd like to experience, something that you'd like to happen to you. Think about something you'd like to have happen to you right now, something you would like to experience silently within yourself. Nobody knows what you're thinking, so be completely honest with yourself. What would you like to experience right now? What would you like to have happen to you? What would you like to happen to you right now in your life? What would you like to experience? And then tell yourself, I can have a day just like that. I can have a day just like what I want. I can have a day just like that. I can have a day of peace, and I can have a day of happiness. I can have a day of joy if I make no decisions by myself. If I remember to consult with my inner guide, if I learn how to communicate with something greater than my own ego, I can have this day just like that. And if you find yourself having a day other than the kind of day you'd like to have, remind yourself that you are having that troubling day because you forgot not to make any decisions by yourself. You're having a troubling day because at some level you've forgotten not to make any decisions without God, without your higher self. So if you're not feeling happy about something right now, I invite you to tell yourself, at least I can decide that I don't like what I feel now. At least I can decide that I don't like the way I feel about this. At least I can decide that I don't like how I feel about this. There's some area that you're troubled about. The Course says, tell yourself, at least I can decide I don't like what I feel now. And then you say, at least I can decide I don't like what I feel now, and so I hope that I am wrong. At least I can decide I don't like what I feel now, and so I hope I am wrong. And after you admit to yourself that you don't like what you're feeling, if there's some area that you don't like what you're feeling in, say, I want another way to look at this. 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 Oh, I want another way to look at this. Perhaps there's another way to look at this. Perhaps there's another way to look at this. Perhaps there is another way to look at this. If it's a person that you feel some conflict about, say to yourself, I want another way to look at them. I want another way to look at this person. I want another way to look at this person. Perhaps there's another way to look at this person. What can I lose by asking? Perhaps there's another way I can look at this person. What can I lose by asking? Perhaps there's another way I can look at this situation that I'm in right now. What can I lose by asking? I want another way to look at this. You want another way to look at it. You want another way to look at it. You want another way to look at it. If you'd like to have an incredible change of perception, if you'd like to have that situation healed, tell yourself, I'm willing to have an answer that I didn't make up. I'm willing to have an answer that I didn't make up. I'm willing to have an answer that I didn't make up. I'm willing to have a solution whether I know how to have one or not. I'm willing to have a solution whether I know how to have one or not. I'm willing to have the answer even if I don't know what it is. I'm willing to have the solution even if I don't know how to do it. Take it out of your hands. Take it out of your hands. Take it out of your hands. If you could solve it, you would have already solved it. If you could give it to yourself, you would have already given it to yourself. It's time for you to admit that you don't really know how to make yourself completely happy, consistently. And ask for another way to look at it. Ask for breakthrough. I am entitled to miracles. 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 entitled to miracles. All those things that I was sharing were things from the Course in Miracles, practical applications of the ideas. Tonight I'm going to talk about something that's going to be pretty powerful. It's on page, it's a couple of, there are three loaner copies still up front. It's on page 223, and it's called Seeking and Finding. Basically two kinds of mind. One part of the mind is afraid, and one part of the mind is experiencing love. The part of the mind that believes it's separate and the part of the mind that's afraid and gets guilty and feels angry and wants to control and gets depressed and is worried, is that part of the mind, of course, calls the ego. So for the sake of this section tonight, we're going to call the part of us that thinks it's separate and has fear and doesn't love itself completely, we're going to call that part of us the ego. Got that? Okay. So the part of us that thinks it's separate, the part of us the Course says that is afraid, the part of us that looks out at everybody in the room and actually thinks they're looking out at somebody else in the room, the part of us that thinks it's separate from each other, feels like we're strangers to each other to a certain degree, don't know each other to a certain degree, kind of feels like it's on its own in the world trying to make it, hoping that it can form a few special relationships with some people that are giving some degree of comfort and safety. The Course calls that the ego. And it says that all of us has that part of us in us, or we wouldn't be here, or we couldn't see it. Because whatever we see outside of ourselves, the Course teaches, is really something that's going on inside of our own mind. So you really can't see anything out there that's not in your own mind. So it teaches that the easiest way to get in touch with your whole mind is to pay attention to the way you are seeing things, because the way you are seeing things, that is a reflection of what's in your mind. So if I have a lot of anger, but I'm in denial about it, I'll see you as angry. If I have a lot of guilt and I'm not willing to own it, I'll say you are guilty. If I got some depression I'm in denial about, I'll see myself as surrounded by depressed people. See, the way it works is, whatever is going on inside of me that I don't want to own, I'll see it in you all. So then I'll be a really cool person surrounded by people that seem to have problems. Okay, everybody familiar with that? I'm the cool person, but I'm surrounded by people who sometimes seem like they're not as cool as me or they got some issues. Okay? All right? So I'm going to say it to you again. Everybody else's issue is your issue. When you don't want to own your issue, it becomes projected into everybody else that you're in relationship with. That's why we get tied to our circle of friends and associates and sometimes wonder why we're so attracted to them. It's because they are actually bringing to us what's going on within ourselves that needs to be purified, corrected, and purged. That's why you're so attracted. That's also true of the people that you look at in your life that you see as loving, giving, pleasant, you're grateful for, you have fun with, you know what I'm saying, you're turned on by them. That also is a person that is presenting you with something that's going on inside of yourself. Another thing, a person cannot make you angry. What they do is they trigger the part of you that's already angry and make you aware of it. Because if I was a truly peaceful person, you couldn't make me angry. So you can only make me angry if there's a part of me that's already in anger. You can only make me feel depressed if it's a part of me that's already in depression. So everybody around me are acting as triggers
to get me in touch with what I'm already feeling, but I don't realize it's in there yet. Everybody still with me on this? Okay, so the course calls that part of the mind that gets triggered and thinks it's afraid and thinks it's separate. Now, the course is not talking about what we call phony happiness. So let me explain what phony happiness is, okay? Phony happiness is happiness based on things going the way you think they ought to go. That's phony happiness. In other words, I'm happy because I saw those red shoes and I got them. If I didn't get the red shoes, I wouldn't be happy. That's not happiness. Okay? That is fear that you like. Because there's always that fear you might not get the red shoes, or you might not get the thing that you think you want, or you might not get that relationship. Or if I get the relationship that I like, can I hang on to it? What can I do to make sure I don't lose it? So at the level of the ego, at the level of fear, at the level of separation, even the things that we think make us happy is still just a pleasant form of fear, because we think we'd be lost without those things. We think we would be unhappy without those things. So Course in Miracles is making a distinction between the illusion of happiness and real happiness, because real happiness cannot be shaken by anything that's going on the outside. Real peace can't be shaken by anything that's going on the outside. So generally, people, by the time they, if they get serious about the Course, these are people who have usually had enough of the up and down roller coaster, and they're saying, I want something that's consistent that I can always depend on, that's going to always be there no matter what. That's the difference between, to me, between people who are going for the real deal and people who still think that it's going to be through the manipulation of their outer environment that they make themselves happy. Because there are two kinds of people in the world. Those who believe that they have to manipulate everything outside themselves in order to be happy, and those who realize they just need to remove the blocks to the thing, to remove the blocks to keep them from being aware that their happiness and peace and power is already inside of them. So one group is trying to let go of stuff. The other group is trying to get stuff. That's the difference. One is going, if I get, I'm going to be happy. It's a difference between doing something because you already feel whole and complete, so you just express it. It's a difference between, let's say, a musician, for instance, and I did it for a long time, and I used to meet them, those who love music. So even if they were standing on the corner, you know what I'm saying? They still, like Barbara Streisand once said, if, you know, I would be singing, period. I love to sing. That's different from saying, if I don't have a record contract, if I don't have 10,000 people coming to hear me, then I'm not going to play. See, that's not the same as a person going, I love music and I just want to express. And it would be great if all the rest of that stuff happened, but I love it. Like, I love sharing this. I don't care how depressed I feel, angry I feel, whatever I'm going through, I love being a vehicle for this stuff to come through. So that's different from, I'm not going to teach tonight unless there's a certain number of people show up. Or I don't see myself as a successful unless I'm on Oprah. You know what I mean? The minute you make your happiness dependent on anything outside of yourself, you are actually giving your power away. You're giving away all of the enjoyment of that thing. So we're going to talk tonight about seeking and finding. That's what this section is called. And it's really deep. And I had to set it up because, as anybody knows who's been around the Course in Miracles, it always says stuff that kind of freaks you out a little bit sometimes. So it says the ego is certain that love is dangerous. And this is always the ego's central teaching. There's a part of you that never puts it this way. And on the contrary, everybody who believes that being separate and being fearful or somehow is salvation seems to be intensely engaged in the search for love. So the Course says, even people who don't really know how to love are intensely searching for love. Is that true? The most insecure person that you know will still say they're looking for that special person. The angry person will go, I still would like to have a date tomorrow night. You know what I'm saying? So the Course is saying to us that there's a part of us that is actually afraid of love, but it is intensely engaged in the search for love. And yet, even though the part of us that's afraid is encouraging us to search for love very actively, the part of us that's afraid, because of the part of you that doesn't love you, or the part of you that criticizes you, the part of you that judges you, makes one proviso. Don't find it. Yeah. It's on page 223. In other words, the Course is saying, when you don't love yourself, or when you don't know the truth, or when you really haven't healed yourself, then what you do all the time is you search for stuff intensely, you go after stuff intensely, but you never seem to find it. So it says, when your ego, or the part of you that is in fear or guilt, or the part of you that doesn't know the truth, it's always encouraging you to go after stuff, but it always makes sure you don't get it. So you're always looking, but you don't ever find it. The part of me that doesn't love me wouldn't want me to find it, because I don't deserve to find it, because I don't love myself. So people who don't love themselves, who are seeking for anything, they're making an error, because until they love themselves, they'll never let themselves enjoy what they are about to try to achieve. They're going to either sabotage it, or they're going to attack it, or they're going to just simply not find it. So if you're a person that knows you don't love yourself, you criticize yourself, you condemn yourself, you don't let yourself have what you deserve, then you know that your first priority should be learning how to remove the blocks to knowing how to love yourself and to feel complete within yourself. Because if you go out there and get anything that your ego tells you to get out there, and you haven't, I used to see it when I was in a band, it was really interesting. It was like we were a bunch of dysfunctional people like most people are. Okay, but so what would happen would be we would get right on the verge of some big contract or breakthrough, or we'd get the thing that we'd always want to happen, and then I'd watch the egos explode, and I would watch us start doing stupid stuff to sabotage the whole thing. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about, because we all have done that. And so I want the relationship, it finally shows up, and then I find myself doing just the things I know that's going to destroy that relationship, because I don't love myself. I haven't dealt with those basic issues of what I learned about myself. So this is not like a psychotherapy class, simply because who you are is much greater than some human being that has dysfunctional problems that need to be fixed. You are a child of God. You are an infinite spiritual being with unlimited creative powers that create your reality through your thoughts, feelings, emotions, and beliefs. And you were created by love. You only deserve love. And you're more than these human forms and bodies that you are inhabiting right now. You're bigger than a person that's trying to correct their stuff.
Thank you.
Okay, that's what you are. Now, whether you believe it or not, I really don't care. Okay, I don't have an investment in whether you believe it or not. You know what I mean? Because at that point, I'm overstepping my bounds. But my responsibility is to remember who you are and treat you like you deserve more than you think you deserve, and to see you as further than you see yourself as being. In other words, I'm here to hold the light. And you're supposed to be holding the light for me, and we're supposed to be holding the light for each other, because we forget our divinity. We forget our perfection. We forget how loving we are and how much we deserve love. And we're in a world full of fearful people who also are doing the same thing, and we call it a society. Okay, that's the code name, society. Okay, society is just a bunch of people who basically think the same way, all hanging out together. You know what I mean? So the truth is, I need somebody to remind me that it's really natural for me to have the best that life has to offer, because it's my divine right as a child of God, as a child of an infinitely powerful creator. You know what I mean? Because that's what I forget. So there's a part of me that really wants love and is telling me to go after it, but the truth is, I've been hurt in the past, and so I have a lot of fear and suspicion and distrust. Okay, so I'm really going out here to get in a relationship, but the truth is, I still haven't forgiven the person I was with before. And I'm still judging the new people I meet in terms of the way the people were who I was with before. So most people that I'm in a relationship with, I'm not really in a relationship with them. I'm in a relationship with the person that I had before them, and I'm looking at them in terms of what I went through in the past, so therefore I don't really see the person that I'm with at all. I really just see what I went through in my last relationship, and I'm trying to make darn sure you don't do it to me too. So I'm looking at you in terms of what I experienced with somebody else who wasn't even you. So therefore, I don't really have a relationship with you. And I call that wisdom. For me to project my experiences with somebody else onto you who you aren't that other person, I see that as wisdom. And the Course says, no, it's delusional. I am not your last boyfriend. I was not the one who did the last thing that happened to you. And don't even come to me like you got to deal with me to make sure I don't do to you what somebody else did to you when I'm not the somebody else that did it to you. I need you to have a relationship with me, not with the person you were with before. So what does that mean? Well, that means that I would have to enter into each new relationship with open-mindedness and trust, as if this person is not the person I was with before. I have to do every relationship like that. It's at no point would it be okay for me to go, I'm in a new relationship with you, but I'm going to treat you like you were him. Because I'm not. Or then people go, well, wait a minute now. You know, if I don't do that, then they might take advantage of me. They'll take advantage of you when you don't think you deserve to be happy. They take advantage of you when you feel like you don't deserve to have a relationship that you're treated with respect and love. In other words, everybody you attract to you are being attracted to you because of how you feel about yourself. So if you really want to change the quality of the people that you draw to you, you just have to change your attitude about yourself and who you are. And then it will be reflected back to you through those people. But people who haven't tried that don't know that it's true. And so it would be a tendency to judge that and say, oh, that couldn't possibly work. But that's because a person would have to have a brand new way of looking at things in order to get this new path, which is actually easier. It's easier to draw somebody to you through the law of attraction that is more in line with who you are than to try to go out and make somebody be that way, hoping that you'll run into somebody that will treat you that way. It'd be better to magnetize them. Right? So I want to ask you, what kind of magnets are you? Right?
Yeah.
What kind of magnet are you? And that's really not a difficult question, actually. Take a look at your physical environment, the people that are in it, the way you're being treated, what happens to you on a day-to-day basis, and you will be completely in touch with your magnet. Mm-hmm. If that depresses you, then you need to change your consciousness and therefore change what you're attracting. If it makes you feel like, you know what, I must be doing better than I thought, then I'm happy for you, I rejoice with you, and I want to support you in continuing to feel that way. Either way, you win. Either way, you win. So when I don't love myself, the Course calls it my ego part. He says, well, that part is going to say, seek and do not find. And that's the one promise, he says, the ego is going to hold out to you. It's the one promise that the part of you that doesn't love you will keep. And so the part of you that is afraid, it pursues its goal with what? Fanatic insistence. I think that's an interesting kind of insistence. Fanatic insistence. And it says, and the part of you that doesn't love you, its judgment, though severely impaired, is completely consistent. So we have completely consistent, severely impaired judgment. I think the wrong way consistently. Okay? The Course says the guilty mind always has severely impaired perception consistently. Okay? So it says the search then that a fearful mind undertakes is therefore bound to be what? Defeated. And since the part of you that doesn't love you also teaches you that it is you, then the guidance of the part of you that doesn't love you will lead you to a journey which must end in perceived self-defeat. Because the person that is full of fear and guilt cannot love, and in its frantic search for love is really seeking for what it's afraid to find. I'm going to stop the next sentence and be with that for a minute. If I really don't love myself and I'm really insecure, I really don't recognize that you all are one with me, I really don't recognize my spiritual identity, I'm full of anger, resentment, and grievances, I'm intensely searching for love, right? But the truth is, I'm searching for what I'm completely afraid to actually find. Mm-hmm. So the reason why many people search for love and don't seem to find it is because if they don't love themselves, they are afraid to find love, and so therefore they seek for what they are actually afraid of. Because if I'm insecure, I'm kind of afraid of a completely secure person. If I don't love myself, I have a hard time dealing with somebody that does. If I feel like I'm full of lack, then I have a problem with being with people that have an abundant consciousness. If I'm shy and afraid to express myself, I would be afraid of a person that was bold, confident, and creative. So actually, I'm searching for a person that I would be completely terrified to be in a relationship with. I'm seeking for what I'm afraid to find. Of course, that's what we're doing. Okay. Well, so you should wonder, why is everybody seeking but nobody feels like they're finding? Well, of course they're not going to find when they're afraid of what they're looking for. But they don't even know it. This is a paragraph and a half. Now, the search for love and happiness, the Course says, is inevitable, because the part of us, even the part of us that's afraid, the ego, is still part of your mind, and because of its source, your ego is not completely split off, or it couldn't be believed at all. So it's your mind that's believing in the fear and the separation, and it's your mind that gives existence to the fear and separation, yet it's also your mind that has the power to deny the ego's existence. You have the power to deny the existence of the part of you that wouldn't love you, the part of you that wouldn't help you, the part of you that wouldn't appreciate you. I have the power to deny any part of me that would hurt me. And, he says, you will surely do so when you realize exactly what the journey is on that your ego is sending you. It's like, I will deny the part of me that is keeping me from having the things that I would feel happy and peaceful having, as soon as I realize what it's doing to me. So the way that you break a pattern is to recognize clearly what the pattern is doing to you. If you don't recognize what the pattern is doing to you, then you don't let go of the pattern. What is it that the average person doesn't want to look at? What they're doing to themselves. And so that's how they unconsciously perpetuate the pattern that they want to let go of. They think if they don't look at it, somehow or another it won't exist for them. So most people are in denial about their patterns, and that's why they keep them. The person that breaks the pattern is the one that looks at the pattern square in the eye and says, you know, I'm doing this to myself, and I see I'm doing it to myself, and I'm going to stop. The person that never stops is the one that's doing this. You're doing it to me. 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 See, I'm not looking. I'm not looking at my pattern that is doing it to me. So I keep it. And then I just keep going from person to person, situation to situation, circumstance to circumstance, and go through the exact same thing with different people. So every girlfriend is just alike. They just have a different color half, huh? Okay? But I find that I go through the exact same thing with all of them. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I know you do. You know, why? Because I don't realize I'm the one that's making the order. Right? Okay. So if I don't love myself, I am not going to be attracted to somebody that's good for me. That's out of the question. They'll be my friend. But they won't be my lover. That's reserved for the people who sometimes give me hell. And hopefully the sex is good enough to be a trade-off. You're hell to live with, but that orgasm was out of sight. Okay, so we everything's cool. Okay, yeah, okay. So now, if you are loving yourself, if you are appreciating yourself, then you'll attract someone into your life or a relationship into your life where they're just, as a result of being with them, you're feeling more expansive, more powerful, more love, more loving, more value. It's the opposite. So I'm not putting down special relationships at all. I'm just saying that the relationship that you have is going to be a reflection of how you feel about yourself. So if you don't love yourself, you could never be with somebody that would treat you right. And if you do love yourself, you're going to attract somebody that reinforces your sense of value. So as a result of being with them, you feel more valuable. But that's still coming from the way you feel about yourself. It's not coming from them back to you. It's coming from you back to you through them. So if they left you tomorrow, you still draw somebody else to you that would love you the next week or the next month or whenever you were ready to have a relationship again. Because that person was not the source of your love. They were a channel for the love you were giving yourself. So don't ever think if that person leaves me, I could never be loved again. If they love, if love was coming to you through them, that love was your love for you coming back to you, and that love they were experiencing with that love for themselves coming back to them. And since it was you that created it, you can create it again and again and again and again. And people treat you better when they realize you could be loved by somebody other than them than they do when they think they're your last chance. It's a whole different power dynamic going on when I'm the special one and you lucky to have me, and you are such a cool person, you could have a lot of love from a lot of people. I better kind of, you know, show you I appreciate you and show you I value you and let you know you're important to me, because I know I am, like Beyonce said, you know, you're not irreplaceable. In that sense. And that, because you don't ever want to feel like without any particular individual relationship, you will not be loved. That is not a consciousness of love. That's a consciousness of fear. And it will play itself out. So what do you do if you're in some type of friendship or relationship that is satisfying, that is loving? Every time you get a chance, you let that person know, I appreciate you. I am grateful for you. You are wonderful. I love the way you are. But no conscious being would ever leave it to chance that someone they was in a relationship with would not know how much they valued them. Because part of being conscious is knowing that whatever you appreciate, you keep, and what you don't appreciate will leave. So if you're in something that you're not appreciating, it's only a matter of time before it ends, or it looks like somebody took it from you, or it looks like it leaves. So really, it's not at all complicated. And that's what the Course says. There's nothing so, he says, simplicity is very difficult for a twisted mind. That's a quote from the Course. The more twisted your mind is, the more afraid your mind is, the more complex your mind is, the more you don't love yourself, then the harder it is to understand simple concepts. So that's why some people need things very, very complex, or they think they can't understand it. And when you make it real simple, they actually kind of freak out. That's the difference between Course and other teachings. It's very powerful, simple concepts that a person would just have to decide they're not going to do it. But they certainly can't use the excuse they didn't understand what you were talking about. They just have to admit, I don't want to. That's what when the person is, the person leaves the Course, they just go, well, I just don't want to do that. They can't say, I don't get that. There's love, there's fear. If you fear yourself and don't love yourself, you're not going to let yourself have anything that you say you really want. So you're going to seek after things, but you never seem to find it.
And actually, what you really want is fear, and you get that.
Because that's what I'm giving, that's what I receive. Right. Okay. So, then the Course goes on and says, the ego cannot love, since the search is inevitable, blah, 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 blah. Okay. It is surely obvious that no one wants to find what would utterly defeat them. Being unable to love, the part of the mind that doesn't know how to love would be totally inadequate in love's presence. So the part of the mind that doesn't know how to love, or the part of the mind that's in fear, could not respond at all. So when love showed up, the fearful mind can't respond to love at all. He says, then you would have to abandon
the guidance of your ego. You'd have to abandon the guidance of your fearful self. You'd have to abandon the guidance of the part of you that never gives you satisfaction. And that is an interesting point that you do get to on the spiritual path. You'll get to the point on the spiritual path that you'll go, you know what? I can't keep listening to the part of myself that's been guiding me because that part of myself has not been giving me what it is I think I want. So you start questioning the guidance you're giving yourself. But you don't question the guidance that you're giving yourself until you realize that the guidance that you're following is not teaching you the proper response to the thing that you want. It's not teaching you how to really have what you want. Like, for instance, I'm not going to have a peaceful, loving, open communication with the people in this room if I attack anybody in this room for what they communicate to me. So attacking you is not going to get me what I want. Let me give you a little easy example of that. I'm in a relationship. I talk about relationships because The Course in Miracles is a book that uses relationships for awakening. So that's why you keep it. And I'm not just talking about romantic relationships. I'm talking about any kind of an intimate relationship, close relationship. So I'm always use our relationships because it says that's the quickest way that you can wake up is through a relationship. Or it's also the best way to put yourself to sleep and delay yourself is relationship. I've seen some people who they were making incredible spiritual progress, learning how to love themselves, feeling very comfortable with who they were, diligently studying their path, met somebody, dropped everything, and then made that other person's their whole life. Okay? So they just delayed themselves. Then I've met other people who were studying and who were diligent, and then they attracted people into their lives who were also wanting to wake up and be more loving and more diligent, and they all supported each other and helped each other wake up, and then they were waking up faster than they would have on their own. I've seen those too. But what I've noticed in both situations is that it comes from an undivided decision to be happy. The person that's wishy-washy about it, they'll keep going through the same stuff over and over again. The person that reaches their limit is the one that goes to the next level. The one who's gone, I've had enough. I'm not going to put myself through this anymore. This is the last time I'm going to do that. It is over. That pattern is gone. I will not go through one more relationship where I'm not respected and loved and appreciated the way. You know, so in other words, it's the people who reach their limit that go to the next level. People who are sort of a little bit miserable about something, but they're not too bad, you know. Yeah, it's not a really passionate relationship, but you know, we do kind of enjoy going to the movie, you know. I just think, okay, I just stick them. See, they haven't reached their limit. So, this is an example of what I'm talking about recognizing when something doesn't work. It goes something like this. I want you to be honest with me. I want you to feel like you can really tell me the truth about anything that you are going through or anything that's going on. I don't want you to lie to me. I want you to tell me the truth. Is that familiar with that? Mm-hmm. All right. Then the person says, okay, this is what happened. And before they can get 3 words out after they say something that you don't like, you go completely off on them, attacking them for what they're sharing with you when they're trying to be honest about what was really going on, what they were really feeling, and what they were thinking. All right? So you're telling me that you expect to have an open, honest communication with somebody you're attacking for their open, honest communication. Okay. And somehow or another, just because they're supposed to be honest, even though they're receiving attack, you think they're going to continue to be open and honest in their communication with you. They're not. Okay, in case you're wondering, they are not. All right? They're going to start censoring themselves. They're going to start hiding what they think and they feel, and you're going to become the last one to know what's really going on with them, and then you're devastated and you feel betrayed. But the truth is, you created yourself to be the last one to know because you were attacking them for communicating with you. Once a person realizes that attack is not going to work and it's not going to get them what they want, then they say, I've got to use a different approach. You know what I'm saying? One time when I was very unconscious, I had a very ferocious temper. So I would just dominate in a relationship through my anger, through my, and then I would, or not speak, Oh, I could not speak good. You know, just I could go a week and not say a word. I mean, a week. You know, it's like, hey, you're not acting out my script. I'm not talking to you. You know what I'm saying? And then, if the person is insecure or fearful, then they give in. And then they respond to your guilt and they respond to your attack, right? And it looked like you got what you wanted because they caved in because you attacked, all right? So what that does is that gives you the illusion of power. So you actually believe, you start to believe your own press. And so you start to believe that you actually have power over this person now. And you don't realize that they're giving you all the power that you seem to have over them. And they're giving you this power because they still think it's something about you that's going to get them something that they want. But the ones that person really gets, that being with you is not going to get them what they want. Whatever that is, they're going to take their power back, and it usually freaks men out. I can only speak from the male ego perspective. But when that power is withdrawn and all of a sudden you don't have the power that you thought you had, but then you have to learn other ways of communicating. It's like when the person goes, I'm not going to respond to you if you attack me. Now, the first thing the ego is going to do is it's going to escalate the anger and attack. It's going to go, and you go, well, no, I'm not responding to that. I deserve to be talked to different. No, I've had it. You're going to have to respect me and talk to me a different way. Now, if that person really wants to have a relationship with you, they're going to stop because they realize the approach isn't going to work. And that's what the Course is saying here, that the once you realize that what you're doing is not going to get you what you want, that's when you stop doing it. But you don't stop doing it because it's good or bad. You don't stop doing it because it's not nice to dominate people. A person stops trying to dominate when their domination does not get them what they want. A person stops doing something when it doesn't get them what they want. It's what the Course teaches, and it makes perfect sense. All of us know that we don't not do something because it's not good or morally right. You think about how many things you've sworn you would never do in your life that you've done. You know it's not because it's bad. That don't stop nothing. But what does stop something, you know, we all know that. But, you know, we want to do it because it's bad. You know? But what stopped me was that it didn't get me what I wanted. When the person stops responding, then you have to take a different approach. But it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to practice the truth. An insecure person who thinks they're not valuable and they think they're lucky just to have the person, then they are not prone to take a stand for their power and take a stand for themselves. Because they think they're lucky to have that person to begin with, as unworthy as they think they are. That's why people tend not to form relationships with equals until they start to love themselves. You usually find people try to form relationships with somebody that they think they're one up on. They think they know a little bit more than them. I'm a little bit more aware of the truth than you are. Inequality. When you're ready to have fun, when you're ready to have a real relationship, when you're ready to have a powerful, guiltless relationship, you want to form a relationship with an equal. Somebody who is pretty much coming from the same place you're coming from, and they're doing it as a result of their own personal evolutionary growth, and not because you decided to teach them. You know, when you enter into a relationship and you think you're going to teach the person that you're with, that is a purely egotistical relationship. It should be, hey, we're both the same, we're both growing together, we're both going to do this together, we're both going to learn this together, but not, I'm the master and you're the student. No, I'm your student, you're my student, I'm your teacher, you're my teacher. This has got to be some equality here, because the Course says it's only with equality that you experience the miracles. That miracles only come from equality. Miracles don't come from inequality. So, when you're on a journey that's based on the part of you that doesn't love you, the Course said, when you follow its teaching, then you will search for love, but you will not recognize it. So when it shows up, you won't even recognize it. I've been in situations, and you probably have too, where you're sitting in front of a person, especially like you're dating and stuff, and you'll be sitting in front of a person, and they'll be describing to you the kind of person that they would really like to have, and you'll be that person, and they won't even see it. I want somebody that's nice and loving and conscious and, you know, listening to me, and I can talk. And you're sitting there being that person, but they don't even see it. Because they don't love themselves enough yet to see that you're in front of them, which is your protection. That is your protection. If you're sitting in front of somebody and you're a completely loving being and they do not see that, then you know you're protected, because that's how you are protected when you are a loving being. When you are a loving being, the way that the universe protects you is that people who would not appreciate you and who would hurt you would never even see you. But the people who are for you, like you, they recognize you immediately. So the relationships that I have and that I form in my life now, what I'm noticing is this. There's instantaneous connection, communication, sense of trust. It isn't a long-term, let me get to know you over the next 6 months. Okay, if it takes that long for you to recognize who I am, I don't have time. You should have been conscious enough to recognize that I am a good person right off the bat, if you could see. And people who don't haven't experienced that in themselves yet, they don't realize that that happens. That there is no have to take weeks to know if I can trust you if we really are conscious beings. If we are conscious beings, we recognize each other immediately. It gets easier, is what I'm telling you. It all gets simpler, is what I'm telling you. And your biggest challenge is going to be, how much of this good stuff can you let in? That's going to become your biggest challenge. How much can I handle without freaking out that is so good? Because you're testing the limits of my ability to receive. And when you reach that fear level of your ability to receive, it's exactly what it feels like, fear. And you need to tell the person, I'm freaking out. This is so good, it's bringing up that fear in me that I could lose it or that I could do something to mess it up. And I need to tell you that I have reached my limits, and I need you to assure me that it's safe for me to open up more. And you would do that by reminding me that this love is coming from me, and that it's within me, and that I can create it from within myself. You wouldn't tell me, you're right, honey, it is coming from me. You better pray you never lose me. If you don't have me, you won't have it. No, somebody that loves you say, hey, you know what? You deserve to have it. You're going to have it no matter what. And guess what? I'm going to give it to you even more. I'm going to be more of a test. Because, you know, you are a beautiful person. You are a wonderful person. And I got sense enough to know that the easiest way to keep you in my life is to never let you forget that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to this much with me tonight. Would you acknowledge yourself? Can we acknowledge us? Would I be willing to acknowledge us? Thank you so much for always giving me an opportunity to teach what I need to learn. Because I'm the learner too.
Thanks, Earl.
You got it. You are very welcome. Absolutely.
Appreciate you.
See? Recognition. So I know you cool. You know, I know you cool. This wasn't in the divine plan for me to see you Sunday night. I came down there. But when I came down there, police.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I came down.
It was a mess.
Yeah, when I came down there, there's police cars everywhere.
Well, yeah. That's because there was some hooligans about the neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was intense. But, yeah, and I said, well, is the show going on? And they said, no, it's been canceled. And then I came to find out later that they had moved you next door.
Yeah,
because I was looking forward to that.
Right. We're not working with that company again.
Is that right? Thank you all for sharing with me in the love offering. I really appreciate it. So I do the course full time in the world. You love me? Now, recognition. You know what I mean? Recognition. And I've been receiving so much that all of my stuff has been coming up this week. So it's really good to hear this, you know. Really, I'm serious. It's been intense. Sunday. Sunday at 1 o'clock is the next Course in Miracles class, and then we do another one at noon on Wednesday that we do even more discussion. I believe that the reason why we're hearing this is that we're being prepared to receive everything that we've ever wanted in our heart. And this time around, Spirit is trying to give us an opportunity to really recognize it and appreciate it. And it really starts with ourselves and our relationship to God, our relationship to Spirit. Whatever the word you want to use to describe something greater than your own ego. I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it in each of you. This is a powerful, powerful time that we're in right now. So before I complete, are there any questions or any comments about anything you heard me say? Anything I said that frightened you, that I could give you another perception of, or that you feel confused about? This is an opportunity to share. Or anybody would care to share an aha, something that they heard that they went, oh God, that, yes.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, you got one?
I've been experiencing that hitting the limit of receiving.
Uh-huh.
Where all of a sudden everything starts happening really quickly, and I'm like, I can't do this. And
uh-huh.
I'm kind of like, mm-hmm.
Breathe. No, I'm serious. The answer is simple. The answer is... and communicate. That's what I was saying earlier about the communication thing. It's like one of the most important things I've found that you can learn in a relationship is that when a person is really opening up and saying something, even if it's something you don't like, don't attack them. Because if you attack them, you won't know what they really think and what they really feel. And that's where pain comes from. Pain comes from deceiving yourself and being deceived. I know it's going to sound reasonable to say, well, I need to go out. I said, any way possible, I put it that way. Now, I mean, even if they were to say the unthinkable according to how you think the unthinkable is. They say, well, the truth is I got a little bit inebriated last night and I woke up this morning and I was in the bed with five women. Okay.
You.
Okay. Oh, the 80s. I reached my capacity to receive. Because this stuff works. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This stuff works. It really does. It really works. I mean, if you stay on your spiritual path, you're going to find that so many of the fantasies and thoughts and dreams that you never thought would happen will be happening. And because when you focus on your spiritual awareness, what people don't know is that they're taking their mind off of their physical dreams for a minute. And the way that you manifest things is you focus in on it, you feel it, and then you release it. And most people won't do the releasing part. They just obsessed with what they want all the time. They don't do the releasing, right? So what happens is when you start to devote yourself to your spiritual awakening and you're not so materially and physically oriented, you have just released all of those thoughts and dreams and fantasies and emotions for the first time. And all of a sudden, all of the, even though it seems like you're trying to be more spiritual than ever, all of the physical manifestations of your fantasies and temptations and everything else, all of a sudden they go boom, 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 and they're all around you. And then at that point you get a chance to go, all right, I'm going to have this experience, or you'll find out, well, maybe that's not where you're at anymore, and you'll choose out of it, but you won't feel guilty, and you won't feel like you're being denied. Because there are more people who want to love you than you could ever get around to. There is no shortage of love. And whatever you're doing, whatever your special talent is or whatever your special creativity is, the Course teaches that if you will say, I want that to be used for the awakening of the planet, I want it to be used to bring peace and joy to everyone, then you tap into the power of the universe to manifest what you want, because it teaches that God could care less about your personal interest. That what created us is about all of our best interests. So if you really want to get the spirit behind you, you have to go, I would love to experience that And I would love for it to be helpful and beneficial to everyone else. So when you wake up, you start including everybody else. And that's the quickest way to have what you want to manifest. While the average person is going, I want this for me, and that for me, and this for me, and that for me, and this for me, and that for me. But if you go, I would love to have a relationship, and I would love that relationship to be a benefit to everyone. It would somehow heal everyone. You're much quicker. You'll manifest it a whole lot quicker whenever you want it to benefit everybody. Because it does. When you're happy, it benefits me. Because you're one less person that might be causing a hard time. So I want everybody to be happy. But what were you wanting to say?
I can't even believe you covered this tonight. But I was in a really good relationship, and he was treating me, he was just amazing. And I decided that I wanted to let go of that pretty amazing orgasm with the ex-boyfriend who didn't treat me right.
That sounds like a superhero, like, amazing orgasm.
I was ready and I'm ready, but then I'm like, oh, but I want to be single and loving, and I just want to, you know, and but I didn't go the single route because I went straight to the ex-boyfriend who was there saying, oh, now that you're being loved by everybody else, now I will step up to the plate. And
that guy, he's wrong for you.
I did that already.
Literally. And that's what's so cool about the truth is that probably all of us recognized ourselves in something that we heard. You know what I'm saying? And we're all getting those choices one more time to see if when that old order from the kitchen comes back, if we're going to say, oh no, that's what I used to order.
Yeah.
Now I'm ordering something else. I appreciate that you brought it to me because I did ask for it, but now I'm asking for something else, so I'm going to turn it down. So that's what I said. When you really make your biggest spiritual breakthroughs, don't be surprised that the old boyfriends call, the old girlfriends call, the old job opportunity come up, the old patterns come up, because you get a chance to say, oh, you're really serious about having a new experience? Let's see if you can say no to what you would have once said yes to really prove to yourself that you truly are ready for something new and different. And don't forget, you can have it all. You can have the orgasm and a sane, loving person. They're not mutually exclusive the way it looks like it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, at first it looked like, you know, I got to be with this person for that, but I got to be with this other person for this over here. But when you are whole, then you start drawing to you whole experiences and whole people, and you'd be freaked out if it could have ever been that simple. You say, oh, it couldn't have been that simple. Oh, yes, it is. That's the secret. That's the secret. So I will see you all, I promise you, the next time I see you. I'm absolutely confident of that. And I'm available for one-on-one personal sessions. And if you're interested in that, I got flyers over here that describes what I do. And I'm open to that. And your assignment is to see how much cool stuff you can let come in right now. How much love can you, and to be very obviously grateful with the people that you're already grateful for. I mean, it's amazing the difference that it make. And hugs are available. And I love it. Thank you for coming.